You for this opportunity to stand before these your people. Now, Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Get me out of the way. Father, I pray that you would speak through this earthen vessel. Speak through this earthen vessel. Speak to our hearts and our minds a transforming word. Word of power, a word of faith. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Amen. And the Bible says, and in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Yeah, y'all talking about a church service. Sometimes we get a little fidgety when it goes over 15 or 20 minutes, but these folks stayed with the Lord 3 days. It sounds like to me that these people, they were hungry for the things of God, that they recognized who it was and the message and the word that he had for them. And they said, you know what? First, second day, we'll stay as long as it takes to be filled from on high. And the Bible says in verse 1, it says, in those days, the multitude was great. It was a very large number. It were 4,000 people in this instance. And it was a large number. And they were with the Lord, and they had nothing to eat. So I guess they were fasting, you could say. And Jesus called his disciples and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. That says a lot about our Lord, that he cares for us. He cares for his people. Don't ever let the enemy speak to your mind and make you think that God doesn't love you. Amen. To make you think that you're not important, or you're not of self-worth, or you're not of significance. The Lord loves all of us so very much that he's concerned about every facet of our being. He's concerned about every area of our life, even as we see there in Scripture and even today. God loves you. Look to your neighbor and say, God loves you. And we have to recognize the voice of satanic condemnation versus Holy Ghost conviction, because the devil always accuses the brethren. He always speaks doubt. Negative. He always speaks defeat and fear. He always accusing you of messing up, and you're no good, and you'll never amount up to anything, and look at the mistake that you made, and you're a failure, and you can't get it right, and your life is over. That's not the voice of God. But the voice of the Lord, or even when we're corrected, the Holy Spirit will correct us. But in that correction, you know what he'll say? He'll say, you know what? You did wrong. You need to get right. But guess what? You can get up from this. You made a mistake. You can recover. Your life's not over. God will say, I still love you. You belong to me. In spite of the fall, in spite of the thing that you went through, in spite of the sin, he still loves us. And I don't know about you, but it's so assuring to know that the Bible lets us know that if we sin, that we can go to God boldly in the time of need. No matter what it is, if we confess our sin, 1 John 1 and 9 says, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when the devil comes and he tries to accuse you and tries to bring that spirit of condemnation and guilt and fear, you have to recognize its source. You have to recognize what spirit is trying to speak to you. And you've got to cancel it out. And in the name of Jesus, you got to say, you know what? I rebuke that. I know that God loves me. I know that I'm precious in his sight. I know that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I know that I've been redeemed. I've been blood bought. I've been blood washed. I know that I am a son or a daughter of the king. Amen. So I'm not going to believe the negative report, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And you and I have got to say that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what it looks like with your eyes, regardless of what it sounds different from your ears, but you've got to say, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. Amen. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. It may look bad right now, amen, with your natural eyes. And others are saying, how can you get up from this? How can you be delivered from this? But, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're weird, amen. The world thinks that we're strange. And the Bible lets us know that we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We don't belong here, amen. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through, amen. We're just here for a time, amen. We're just here for a few moments, amen. This is not our home. So you can look at me strange all you like, but I don't mind being called a son of the king. I don't mind being called, amen. And you got to say, I don't mind being called a daughter of the king. So Jesus had compassion on the multitude. He just, not only he preached to them and he taught them, but he met their spiritual need. But now he also looked and was concerned about their physical need. God is concerned about the trichotomy of man. He's concerned about every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. He's concerned about the whole you. Look to your neighbor and says, he's concerned about the whole me. He wants you to be at peace in your heart, be free in your mind, be free in your body, being healed in your body. Amen. He wants you, amen, to have peace at every level of your life. He says, I've had compassion on the multitude. The devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've got to recognize, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you would have it more abundantly, a full life. He says, because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And he says in verse 3, and if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way. For divers, or many of them, came from far. These people came, many of them, from a great distance. They came to hear a word from God. They came to hear about this Jesus the Christ. They came to hear about Messiah. They came to hear the words that he was saying. And it touched them and it spoke to them like no other man could speak to them. They were the very words of God. It was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. It was Jesus the Christ. And they got excited when they heard that Jesus was near. And many of them said, if I've got to walk all night long, if I've got to catch the bus, if they'd had them back then, if I got to catch the donkey, if I got to get on a horse, if God, I got to hike, whatever I got to do, Jesus is coming by and I'm excited about the word and I don't care whatever I got to do, amen, to get to hear the words of Christ. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for the word of God. And that's the thing. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. When you get a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, you don't let people block you out. You don't let circumstances block you out. You say, well, those people treat me funny. But no, you're looking at it the wrong way. You got to come looking for Jesus. You got to come looking for the Lord. You got to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help coming from the Lord who made both the heavens and the earth. So I can look at my neighbor and say, you can look at me funny all you like, but I'm in love with Jesus. I didn't come this far to come to church just to see what other people feel or think, but I came because I need an impartation. I came because I'm hungry for the word. I came because I need to hear from God. I didn't come to be entertained. I didn't come so much to socialize, but I came to hear from heaven. His words are spirit and they are life. So I'm excited about the word of God. I'll catch the bus. I'll ride the trolley. I'll get on my horse. I'll hitchhike. Whatever I got to do, because Jesus is in town. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus, understanding these people, they came from distance. He understand they made great sacrifice. Many of them, they walked distance. Many of them had children with them. But you know what? They grabbed Junior, amen. They grabbed Sally, and they said, come on, we're going to church. And they said, well, Mommy, how long we got to go? She said, we got to walk 10 miles. And we got to walk maybe 3 miles. And maybe we got to get on a flea-bitten donkey. But nevertheless, Jesus is in town, and I'm hungry for the word. So I don't know. But you got to come and serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but if you're going to live in my house, you got to serve God. Amen. Come on, we got to go meet Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, if I send them away fasting, amen, they're going to faint. And he understands. What does that say? He understands human frailty. He understands, amen, our weakness, that our frame is but dust. Amen. Amen. We're in these bodies. Amen. And these bodies can become sick. They can become weak if they're not properly nourished or taken care of. Amen. They can suffer disease. Amen. But I want to encourage you. Amen. That to let you know that God is able. Amen. To make all grace abound in your life. That he's able to heal your body. That he's able to encourage you. That he's able to give you peace. Amen. That he's able to touch you. Amen. That he's able to stand with you no matter what it looks like. You can trust in God. Hallelujah. So they came from far, many of them. And here, Jesus, he's taking his disciples to school one more time. And his disciples answered him, and they said, from whence can man satisfy these men with bread in the wilderness? Can we satisfy these people with bread? How are we going to feed 4,000 people? And you know what? They answered the question, for it says here, they say, from whence can a man satisfy? That's right, a man can't unless he's the man Jesus Christ. Amen. See, we can't do this in our own strength. We can't do these things in our own ability, but God can. So his disciples, they were saying, listen, we don't know how we're going to feed so many places. And Jesus, people, and he said in verse 5, and he asked them, he said, how many loaves have ye? And they answered, and they said, 7. And verse 6 says, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave it to his disciples and set before them, and they did eat. And they set them before them, the people. And listen to this, before I go further, isn't there something that God takes us and he breaks us. He prays over us. He sends us out. And then he distributes us to the world. I was listening to one person the other day, and they were saying how that it was hard for them to minister, or that people don't understand how difficult it is to minister when you have to minister through your own brokenness, when you've been hurt and when you're dealing with things. And those who are in ministry understand what I'm saying, that you still have to stand up before people, irregardless of what you may be going through. And I responded and I said, show me a man or a woman that has been in great pain, great distress, great suffering, that has been persecuted, and I will show you a man or a woman that is used mightily by God. I will show you a person who was anointed. I will show you a person, amen, that ministers powerfully on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I will show you a person who has a communion and a relationship with God. What I'm saying, sometimes it's in the brokenness that God does his miraculous work. I'm getting ahead of myself here, amen. And listen to this. He asked them, and he said, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he told the people, he said, to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. And he broke and gave it to his disciples and set them, and they did set them before the people. And the verse 7 says, and they had a few small fishes. Now, it's interesting. They didn't mention the fishes when Jesus was first talking to them, but they kind of held that back a little bit. But nevertheless, it says, and he blessed and commanded to sit them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Wow. Here's a miracle of God. 4,000 people. And yet through 7 loaves and a few fish. What is God teaching his disciples? And he's saying to them, listen, it's a lesson that God is saying even to all of us. He said, I just need you to have just a faith of a grain of a mustard seed. If you can just believe God and just confess even with what you have, give to God the little that you have. The little bit, and sometimes people equate it just to money. No, it's not just the money, but give God yourself. Whatever your ability is, whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, whatever it is, amen, give it to God. And when you sow it to him in faith, trusting and believing, God will take that thing, whatever it is, and God will multiply it. How is it that you can survive in the wilderness? People will look at you and say, how can you make it? We know that you're just on a minimum wage job and you're not bringing in much income and you have 3 kids and you're the only one working and you got bills due and you got car notes due and people are wondering, how are you making it? And sometimes you don't even know, but it's a miracle that you're still here. And I don't think many people miss too many meals and I don't see anybody walking around naked. So somehow, somewhere in the process that God still has provided, I don't always understand how God does the multiplying. I don't know if the miracle was in the praying. I don't know if the miracle was in the breaking. I don't know if in the miracle of multiplication was in the giving. But nevertheless, God satisfied. And it said for them to sit down. He says, I want you to get comfortable because you're going to have a full course meal. You're going to eat so much, you're going to be satisfied. Your heart's going to be content. This is not a drive-by dinner. Amen. This is not a drive-through. This is not a smorgasbord. But I want you to sit down and I want you to get comfortable. And that's what God is saying to us. Amen. He's saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to acknowledge me in all of your ways. And I will direct your path. You might not have much, but God said, I don't need much to work with. I just need a few fish and a few loaves of bread. I greatly need your faith. I need your obedience. I need you to come to a place where you learn to rest and sit down and trust me. And watch me work in your life. God said, I just want you to trust me. No matter what it looks like, you're saying, how am I going to make my car note? How are we going to make it, sweetie? How are we going to make it, honey? I don't know, but let's trust God with a little bit that we have. Let's put God first. Hallelujah. David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed beg for bread. And last time I looked, I was the righteousness of Christ. You're the righteousness of Christ. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. I belong to the Lord. And as David said, he has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children or their offspring begging for bread. So God has promised that he's going to meet the need. I just got to learn to trust him. Don't panic in the wilderness. Who am I talking to right now? Somebody's getting nervous because you're in the wilderness. Somebody, you're looking in the natural and you don't see a way out. And you don't see the resources. But don't look in the natural. Look through the eyes of faith. And you've got to speak to that nothing. And you've got to say in the name of Jesus, even though I know I got just $100 and I know I got $500 worth of bills and expenses, but God, I trust you. God, I believe your word. God, I know you're not going to have my family on the street. I know you're not going to have me living out of the boxes and living and eating out of garbage cans. God, I trust you. You've been too faithful. You've shown yourself over and over and over and over again. How could I not trust God? How could I not lean on the Lord after all of his done, after everything that he's done in my life? Hallelujah. God wants you to take what you have in faith, and he wants you to stand up And he wants you to declare, amen, that I can make it. I can do all things, as Paul said, through Christ, which strengthens me. I can get out of this unemployment situation through Christ, which strengthens me. My body, amen, can be healed through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm going through a problem on my job, but I'm coming out because I got Jesus on the inside. And his word says, greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in the world, because God is on the inside, because the champion lives in me. He causes me to triumph. He causes me to be victorious. No matter what it looks like, I'm not going to speak defeat. I'm not going to speak lack. I'm not going to speak doubt, but I'm going to declare the word of God. I'm going to decree and declare, and I'm going to call those things that are not as though they were. I speak life. You got to look in the mirror and you got to say, I shall live and not die. I'm not going under, and I'm not having no funeral, no time, no soon, no way. I've got work to do in this life, and God, I belong to you. I've been bought with a price, and God, you promised to keep me and to save me and to establish my feet and to walk with me and commune with me and to fellowship with me. I shall not be moved. You've got to stand up, and you've got to even say to the devil, I'm standing on the rock, which is greater than I. And you've got to look to your circumstances, and you've got to say, circumstances, I shall not be moved. Unemployment, you can't intimidate me. I shall not be moved. You got to look to sickness and say, I know what the doctor said, and I respect that, and I believe in doctors. But when the doctors can't do nothing else, you got to say, God, I'm trusting in you. Cancer, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Backache, I shall not be moved. Rheumatoid arthritis, I shall not be moved. If I got to get up limping, I'm getting up in faith. If I got to get up dragging my foot, I'm going to do it in faith. The world's going to say something wrong with you, but you don't understand my connection. You don't understand my faith walk. You don't understand my communion with God. Even though in the natural it may look bad, but don't feel sorry for me, because I'm a man, a woman of faith. I'm coming out of this. I might be down for a little bit, but I'm getting back up, because there's work to do. I hear the Apostle Paul many times that he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. Amen. He was persecuted. He was stoned in a place called Lystra. So bad, the Bible said that they left him for dead. He was unconscious, and he could have been dead. But guess what? It didn't matter, because his work wasn't done. And after they threw the last stone, and I'm sure that there was blood all around him. They weren't throwing no pebbles. They weren't throwing no hand size. They were throwing rocks and boulders. They was trying to kill him. That was the whole point. Amen. So he was laying there. His head was probably busted open. His lips were busted, swollen. His face was swollen. Probably had contusions and bruises all over his body. But Jesus said, get up, Paul, for you are an apostle sent to the nations. I know you've just been through a stoning, but I want you to get up anyhow. I want you to go and be a witness. I got to have you preach my word. Preach the gospel to the hedges and the highways. I don't care what you've been through. Get up. Who am I talking to? Sometimes you might have been knocked down. Sometimes you're down. Amen. And they're saying he can't get up. He's been down for 6 seconds. He's been down for 7 seconds. I don't think he can recover. But what they don't understand, he's not a mere man, as you think. She's not a mere woman, as you think. Spirit of the living God on the inside, and it's the Spirit of the living God that quickens your body and said, get up from this circumstance, get up from this problem. You were knocked down but not knocked out. You might have suffered some things, but get up and shake it off. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Get out of that pity party and say, you know what, I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. I don't care what it looked like. I'm going to shake off these rocks. I'm going to shake off this debris. I'm going to wipe the blood from my head, and I'm going to get back in the race, because I have so much unfinished business. Hallelujah. 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 There's too much unfinished business for the kingdom. I can't go anywhere until God says so anyway. You can't go anywhere until God say it's over. So I don't care what the devil whispers in your ear. I don't care what your body may be saying. It don't look good. I don't care what people may be saying. You can't go anywhere until God says it's time. I don't care who I'm talking to somebody today. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. Somebody, your finances is upside down. But it ain't going to stay there. But keep being encouraged. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. I'm here to let you know that weeping endureth for a night. But joy comes in the morning. There is a time of weeping. We go through valleys. We go through shadowy places. Oh, but the sun has got to rise. Oh, the sun has got to come high in the sky. So I know I'm not going to be in this position always. You say, well, I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being busted and disgusted. I'm tired of dealing with this and dealing with that. Well, I got to tell you one thing. Hold on, because your change is coming. Hold on, because deliverance is on the way. Hold on, because the sun is rising. And as long as you hold on, you're going to see the breaking of day. As long as you hold on, you're going to feel deliverance. As long as you hold on, you're going to make it to the morning. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to quit. He wants you to throw up your hands. He wants you to say whatever. He wants you to say forget it. I don't know about you, but God didn't give me the spirit of those that go back, but to those that go forward. He said his spirit has no pleasure in those that draw back. So once I put my hands to the plow, I got to keep plowing. I can't look back. I've come too far. I've labored too long. I've invested too much. I've sweat too much. I've cried too much. I've been through trials and tribulations too long to forfeit it now. You didn't come this far, so you might as well stay in it the rest of the way. Get down and get right with God. Get on your knees and surrender and submit to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They specified and they said, Jesus. Here in the wilderness, Jesus, this is a barren place. Jesus, there aren't any stores here. Jesus, there aren't any marketplaces here. Jesus, here in the wilderness, Some of us, amen, keep coming back to this, are in the wilderness. But I want to encourage you that it's only a test. It's only a season. It's only a place and time in your life that God has you to be there just temporarily. It's not a permanent address. So while you and I are in the wilderness, the questions we need to be posing and the things we need to be saying, okay, Lord, what is it that you need me to learn here in the wilderness? Are you teaching me to walk by faith here in the wilderness? Oh, long as we got the income coming in, as long as we got the promotions and the titles, and as long as everything is fine, we smiling, but sometimes it's not until you get in the wilderness are you tested. Everybody can say they love God. Everybody loves Jesus. But I want to ask you that after you've been in the wilderness. I want to know, where is your faith through the wilderness? And see, and that's the real testing ground for Christians. Amen. Everybody's a Christian today, but I want to hear your confession in the wilderness. Those are the ones, amen, that go through hell and high water, that go through upset and upsell, but they still keep that confession. Those are the ones said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those are the ones that God is saying, oh, I see, I got a trooper here. I got a disciple indeed here. I got somebody that loves me, not just for the stuff that they get. They don't love me, amen, when they have money, amen, but they love me when they broke. They love me when they don't see a way out, and they still trust me. And God is saying, you know what, I can promote that person because they went through the wilderness. They didn't moan and complain. They didn't always lift up their hand and say, oh, why am I going through this? Why is this happening in my life, and why did this have to go that way? And the answer is, I don't know. But could it be that God is promoting you? Could it be a setup for a blessing? A lot of times we focus on the negative, amen, but we don't see the broad spectrum. We don't see with peripheral vision what God is doing. God, amen, is getting ready to bless you, but God has to take you to a place where you can hold the blessing. God has got to expand your thinking, expand your character, expand your love, and be able to deal with things. You want a business? Well, you got to learn to deal with people, amen. If you got a customer-based business, you got to learn to be patient with people. You got to love people in spite of their flaws, in spite of their issues, and you've got to be able to reach past that. Oh, you want to be in ministry? You want to be a minister? You want to be a pastor? Amen. You got folks that are gifted and they can preach, but they don't know how to walk with God. God is looking for people, amen, that are just not gifted or talented, amen, or have ability. God is looking for people who are committed, that have a relationship and know what it means, amen, to walk with God, to commune with God. I need to hook up with people that I know can get a prayer through. I need to hook up with people that I know are walking with God, because in the time of trouble, when I'm going through something, I need to know that I can connect with a prayer warrior. I need to know that I can connect with the mother of a church. Hallelujah, that praise. I need to know that I could connect to a pastor, amen, who communes with God. I need to know that I could connect with a minister who not just floating the title, but have a real meaning of the understanding that they're servant, hallelujah, to the Lord. I need to know, amen, that God has got my back. That only comes from having a relationship and the communion with the Lord. I'm about done. Whatever it is that you have, whether it's those loaves or whether it's those fishes, whatever metaphor or whatever real issue speaks to you, whatever it is that you're holding in your hand, don't hold it too tightly. Because of what God wants to do, he's asking you to release. And what he's saying, you know what? Do you trust me? If you really trust me, let go. I got you. But some of us were holding on. I don't know. God said, I thought you trust me. But I can't let go. God, I trust you. That if you tell me to let go, I've got faith enough to believe that you're going to keep me from falling. I've got faith enough to believe that my family is not going to lack. I got faith enough to, you want to revolutionize your confession. You want to confuse the enemy. I don't care what anybody in this room is going through right now. Change your confession. And when you go home, speak life. Don't let a negative word come out of your mouth. You got to look to your loved ones, to your children, to your spouse. I need to clarify that. Your husband or wife. These people have other definitions. And you know, and you've got to say to them, you baby, we're coming out. We're going to make it. I don't care what it looks like. Our blessing is around the corner. And the devil will try to whisper, but you've been praying this for 3 years. Well, we might have to pray for 3 more years. But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand on his word. Don't allow the devil to speak to your minds and rob you of the seeds of faith. Because every time you speak life, the devil tries to go on offensive. We got to get them to act in doubt and disbelief. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've got to trust and I've got to say, you know, Mark 11:24 says, believe that you receive when you pray and ye shall have whatsoever you desire. But I got to give you the full context. If you delight yourself in the Lord. See, a lot of people, we want the blessing, but we don't want the relationship. And the first thing you would say to somebody, are you just using me just for the things that I have? Are you really my friend because I drive a nice car? Are you really my friend? You're just my friend because I always have money and I'm always buying you dinner and sharing nice things. What reason are you really hanging around me? And a lot of people's relationship to the Lord is like that. As long as they can get, gimme. And the moment they go through a problem, where's that man of faith? Listen, God never said it will be easy. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You will have trials. But Jesus said, be of good courage. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. They that will live godly, what? Shall suffer persecution. If they did it to the green tree. If they did it to Jesus, who are we? I often say your faith will be tested. You will stand trial. And is there enough evidence to convict you of being a true saint of the Most High God? The trying of your faith worketh patience. But the Bible said, but let patience have her perfect work. In other words, that you will come to a place of maturity. These trials that you go through, God is using them not to destroy you, not to punish you. Sometimes you say, Lord, I'm being punished. No, you're not being punished. He's setting you up for promotion. He's trying to get you to a place where he can increase you. But just like in the gym, amen, when you're working out, those of you who exercise, amen, it hurts. It's painful. You sweat. You get tired. But if you keep doing it, in a few months, you say, wow, I'm getting a little buff here. I said, watch this. Pastor Mary, you look good. See, I went to my wife. See that? You look good, baby. That dress looks great on you. You know why? Because she invested in the physical man. Well, how much more if we invest in the things of God? Invest in the things of the Spirit. It's rough right now. You may be going through, but you know what? Stay on the wheel. Stay on the potter's wheel. Continue to let him fashion you. When you're on the wheel and a piece of clay is on the wheel, when you first see it, it looks like nothing. But the more and more the craftsman touches it, the more and more it spins, the more and more that some water is thrown on it, the more and more that the Lord's hands touches us, the more and more he makes us to become what he already has declared in our life. But we've got to go through process. Many of us, we fight process. We fight that conforming. We fight God. God is trying to do some things, and we're fighting God. We're fighting with anger. I'm angry. Don't even know why. I'm mad at the world. Don't even know why. I've got this rage in me. Don't even know why. I've got this fear in me. Don't know where it came from. And God is saying, listen, you've got to release those things. You've got to release that anger. You've got to release that fear. You've got to release that bitterness. You've got to release that unforgiveness. Well, you don't know how they hurt me. What, you talking to me? Jesus would say, I was spat upon, beaten, whipped, crowns of thorns placed upon, penetrated my head, nails and spikes driven through my hand and feet. What do you mean? But yet, even on the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Many of us would have been saying, I'm going to get my gun and I'm going to get you, sucker. We'd be going after people. But when you understand the love of God, he said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You getting in your flesh, you trying to handle your business, you're going to make it worse. Not only that, you're going to get out of the will of God, and you're going to get on dangerous territory. And God is saying, I can't use you right now because you're full of foreign stuff. You still got the rocks and pebbles. God is saying, I'm trying to debride you. I'm trying to take all of those things out. I'm trying to shape you and mold you, and I'm trying to create it, but you're still holding on to stuff, to bitterness. You got to let go. People are sick because they won't let go. generations, 60, 70, 80 years old, 20 years old, don't matter. And they refuse to give it to God. Everyone standing. No matter what it is, what will facilitate your healing and your deliverance is to let it go. Give it to God. Something God wants us to give to Him. We hold in those hot coals, they burning you up, but you refuse to let it go. You hold in those sharp pieces of glass, and every time you move your hand, you're cutting yourself, but you won't let it go. I don't understand. It gets back to a place where we have to learn to surrender. It's not about condemnation. The message of the cross is not about fear and trying to intimidate people and trying to listen. With loving kindness has the Lord drawn us. He's demonstrated His love to us each and every day. And it's with love that you're going to draw your neighbor, that you're going to draw your brother and sister. They're ready to fight, but don't put your hands up. Hug them. They're ready to argue, but don't argue with them. Love them into the kingdom. See, that's one of the things that the devil has trouble dealing with. He can copy a lot of things, but when it gets down to real love, he can't stay in the room. He just can't stay in the room. He said, I talk about these people. I spread rumors and lies about these people. I accuse them, and they keep smiling at me and say, good morning, brother. And I made it so that they knew I was talking about it, and they still love me. Wait a minute. I can't go back to that church. Them people got too much love. Thank you, Lord. Wherever you are today, amen. The altar's open. Let us pray with you. Elders, ministers, if you would come.